Set him free. He could have called thirst for water, but they gave him none to drink. Then his sinful work of man was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He died alone for you and me. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
Amen, Brother Ralph. What a tremendous song somebody wrote there. Tremendous. Tremendous truth. Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 16? It's always interesting to see how the Lord works in a meeting to bring everything together, you know. With the songs, the fellowship, your presence here, and just the Word of God then, and the Holy Spirit of God can just bring everything together and use it for His honor and glory. What we do here is not just out of habit only, although I hope you do have a good habit of going to church. But this is a spiritual thing, right? This has got to be a spiritual exercise that we do here. Otherwise, you know, we're no different than a nightclub act or anything like that. This is not what we do. This is spiritual. And so now we go to the Word of God. And we want to, before we even start, let's just ask the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Spirit of God, and to the Father, of course, that they would bless what we do here today. Dear God in heaven, thank you for the one sitting at your right hand. Thank you for the one that you sent to be our comforter and our teacher. And thank you for the scriptures that we have in front of us. What a wonderful blessing it is to have all the words right here on our lap. And we know there are language groups in our world that do not have this. So we've got a great blessing here today. Thank you for it. So guide in what we say and do and everything that it might bring honor and glory unto you and accomplish what you want to do in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 16, this is where we ended up last time. He had given them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 20, things kind of change a little bit here in the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. From one of himself revealing himself to the nation of Israel as their rightful king. And they really all should have responded to that and been bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't. There was some opposition and so forth. Now the ministry of the Lord takes a turn right here at verse 20. Because it almost seems strange that the Lord should charge his disciple with such a charge. Listen as we read. We're going to read down through the end of the chapter. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Does that not almost sound like, you really mean that? Lord, you really mean that? How about us? You think that's our charge for today? No, it's not. Now, it was their charge at that time. So you've got to understand that the Bible, you know, is giving you a progression here of things going on. And of course, there's dispensational aspects to all this as well. Dispensational, what's that? Well, you haven't been coming long enough then if you don't know what that is. And I'd say just stick around and you'll soon learn what all these words and things like that mean. But they're blessed things, blessed thoughts. But here the Lord Jesus Christ charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, I believe, gives us the answer. Okay, excuse me just a moment. Verse 21. From that time forth. See, so something's happening here. There's a switch here. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be crowned king. Does it say that? No. And be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those are also strange words of instruction. These are words that you can just think that the disciples are having a hard time swallowing this. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here. This also must have been a difficult thing. Like, what is the Lord teaching us here? There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, what a progression of things going on here. Prior to this passage that we just read here, the Lord is revealing himself as the rightful king. He's going to bring in a great kingdom. We saw the Sermon on the Mount, how things will be when he rules and reigns. And he even shows his power by the miracles that he has been performed and feeding of the people, 5,000 and then the other 4,000, all these things he's done. Then all of a sudden it seems to come to a screeching halt. And he talks about death and dying and being killed and raised up the third day. And he ends this with, and there'll be some of you standing here who are not going to die till you see me coming in the kingdom. It's like, what? How is all this going to take place? He's going to die. But there's some of us standing here are going to see him when he comes in his kingdom. Well, the Lord is obviously changing things around here. Not that he had to because things didn't go right or didn't go according to plan. No, this is all according to the plan of the Heavenly Father up in heaven, which was already put out in plain view through Old Testament scriptures, Old Testament prophecies. The psalmist writes about it as well, talking about Psalm 69, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53, another illustration of the crucifixion, but also in those same passages, 69 and Psalm 16, about the resurrection of this same one who is going to be so mistreated by the children of Israel. And then later, some of the others talk about the great glory of his kingdom that's going to come someday. And so there's obviously a change in the direction that's going on here when he charges his disciples that they should not tell that he was Jesus the Christ or the Messiah. See, Israel up to this point had rejected their Messiah. They've rejected him. He has just a few followers. Yes, he had maybe like 5,000 that he fed with five loaves and two fishes. The Gospel of John tells us, though, that when he began to explain who he was and how that before Abraham was, I am, and that I am the bread of life. And it says many of his disciples walked no more with him. They departed from him. So there's a rejection, a nationwide rejection going on here by Israel. And now his face, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, his face was set for the cross. And you and I don't despair over this. Don't say, oh, it's so sad that this takes place and the change is taking place here. For you know what? The fact that you sit here today saved, born again, having all your sins forgiven, and a home in heaven, new life to live while you're still here on this earth in this old rotten body or rotting body, you have a new life to live in Christ Jesus, is all because of this change going on right here in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because now he's going to the cross. And oh, the cross is what matters. And that's where salvation is going to be had. It could not be had just as Jesus was before the cross. He must go by the way of the cross. It would never have done, it would never have been good if the whole nation had simply made Jesus king. In fact, the other gospels, you see little details that Jesus gets away from them. He leaves them because they would by force have made him a king. And so that they would not do that, he purposely hid himself from them. And I'm glad he did. So that he could reveal himself openly as he did on the cross. He didn't hide then, did he? He didn't hide. And I'll tell you what, neither should I. That's why he tells his disciples in our verse here, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Boy, well, what do you mean by take up a cross? Now, they knew that the crosses were used at that time as a means of execution. It was well in vogue. It was being used by the Roman government especially. So it wasn't something new. They knew that that's a cruel end. That's an execution. It's the cross itself that they would often make the condemned carry was a shameful thing, despicable thing. You don't want to be connected to that. It means you're a criminal. You're no good. You're being outcast by the whole world. They're going to put you to death. And here Jesus is saying, you want to come after me? You want to be one of my disciples? You've got to deny yourself. Take up the cross. And then follow me. So he makes an announcement of his death and resurrection there in verse 21. Jesus knew of his sufferings to come before he even came into this world. If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Why not bring in Peter's testimony? He's going to be speaking here in a moment to the Lord to tell him not so, remember? So, all right, well, let's read Peter's epistle that he writes after all this is done. And he himself knows that the Lord went to the cross, was buried, rose again. And Peter writes in the first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 1. And, well, let me just start at the very end of verse 7. It says, and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, referring to Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love. How about, is that you, by the way? I've not seen the Lord, but I love him. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Okay, what hymn number is that in our hymn book? You know, we sing that, don't we? We sing it out. Verse 9, receiving the end of your salvation, or of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation, let's take a look at this salvation. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Referring to the Old Testament prophets who often talked about the grace and glory of the Lord that's going to come someday and bless Israel and raise them up out of the, you know, the bottom of the things of the earth, the dredges of the earth, and raise them up to be the greatest nation of all. And all the Gentiles are going to come under her. Why? Because of their Messiah, their King. But they also, the same prophets also wrote scriptures that talked about the rejection of the Holy One, the Just One, the Son of David. They wrote of that as well. And so verse 11, searching what or what manner of time. See, they couldn't quite get the timing down. They couldn't figure this out. How is this one going to be ruling and reigning and making Israel the greatest of all the nations, and yet he's going to die somewhere along the line? They couldn't quite grab a hold of that, the timing of that. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Now, if you want to get some timing, at least they got a little bit of it here. The sufferings would come first, this beforehand, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. Folks, right there is where we're at in the book of Matthew when the Lord says, I don't want you to tell anybody that I am Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. I want you to stop talking about that. Because I've got to suffer at the hands of Israel first. And that's what it says here. When it testified before, I'm in 1 Peter 1:11, beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, Jesus was talking more now about his death and resurrection than anything else. He said, I want you, before this, he was saying, I want you to go into the towns. I want you to tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to repent. Get ready. I'm coming. John the Baptist was there, the forerunner. He was preparing all of Israel as well. But of course, they rejected him. And they would reject the one that John the Baptist preached about as well. And there's going to have to come another Elijah, someone similar to John the Baptist, who will come right before the Lord does return. But when is he going to return? After he suffers on the cross. Well, Peter, I'm back now in Matthew chapter 16. The Lord, of course, says that he's going to suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, raised again the third day. By the way, there's your third day again. You know, if he dies on Good Friday, there's no third day. I just disagree with all these guys. They want to do all kinds of fancy turning around on their head and twisting backward and everything else to try and make it say something so that they can teach their Good Friday and Easter thing. But it don't work. It's not right. Well, verse 22. Then Peter took him, began to rebuke him. Peter's rebuke and the Lord's answer. Here I see Jesus the Creator being rebuked by one of his creatures. All right, Peter's one of his creatures. And here's one of his creatures to the Creator himself. Now, Peter might not totally understand everything, but Peter's own existence depends upon the man standing right in front of him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He created him. And here he is rebuking him and saying, no, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Peter becomes part and parcel of a satanic conspiracy. Satan now enters into the scene here. He sees what Jesus is doing. Who does? Satan. Satan knows, it's been said all the way from Genesis, that his head is going to be bruised by this person. And he sees this here. Do you think Satan doesn't know the scriptures? I believe he does. He knows them. I'm not going to say I wish I knew the scriptures as good as Satan does, but I'm glad I do know the scriptures enough to know that Satan is not going to be for this. And if he could keep Jesus off that cross somehow, he would. And yet, at the same time, what he does puts Jesus right on that cross. Just shows you how much more in control and sovereign God is than the devil himself. And so don't ever fear that the devil might get the upper hand. He won't. Now he is our adversary and he works against us, and we need to be fully aware of that and gain our strength and power from the Lord on that. And boy, we got a witness of that from the missionary Reno's last week. And by the way, I know he mentioned his children and he said about them not being saved and so forth. We need to be concerned just as much with our children right here. Because you don't believe that Satan is trying to get your children and mess them up, grab their minds? Oh, yes, he is right here in the United States of America. You don't have to go to the jungles of Africa or the jungles of Brazil, and they got the jungles there too, to find satanic work and influence going on. It is going on even right here, if maybe not even more so, but in a manner in which it looks almost sanitized. But it's going on in our midst, and we need to pray, Lord, save our children. My wife and I pray for our grandchildren every day. Lord, keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the evil one. Can we remember putting the bottle in their mouth and rocking them to sleep? Because I had opportunity to do that with his job and everything, and the situation was such that I had my little Caleb very often put that bottle in there and rock him to sleep. And I pray Lord, save this baby, save this child. Don't let the devil have him. And I still pray that way. I'm not stuffing a bottle in his mouth anymore, but I still pray the same way about all of them. I got four of them now. They're all a blessing to me. But oh, we pray that God would keep them and that they get saved at a young age. How about you doing that for yours? You better. You better be doing that. The devil's a sly old fox. And here's Peter standing before the Lord. Oh, not so, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. I'm glad the Lord didn't listen to Peter. And you know who else is glad? Peter. Peter's glad too. Oh man, if he could have it all over to do again, I think he'd say different things. But oh boy, Peter is part and parcel of Satan's conspiracy. Why? To keep Jesus off the cross. To keep him off that cross. And you know what? I find much of this is even evident in Christianity today, or Christendom today. To keep Jesus off the cross. Or, now that he has already gone to the cross, to keep the work that he has already accomplished on that cross from being heard and believed in so that people can be saved from their sin. And they might as well just try as well as Peter to keep Jesus off the cross. If after he's already gone to the cross and done the work, keep the message of it from being heard. Or compromising it with and putting it together with works for salvation. This week we had a funeral for a 18-month-old child. And I don't know if any of you knew about that or not. My wife and I had to go. And they asked us to do the funeral for them. And for an 18-month-old child, we did the funeral. And of course, we did preach the gospel. You do the best you can to comfort people during that time. But you got to give them the truth also. In the best way you can. And we did. And wasn't it but a day later, from 18-month-old, I'm now speaking to a 99-year-old woman. And we were just kind of like having a good time, laughing and maybe joking a little bit about some things and stuff like that. And came down to discussing, well, how are you going to get to heaven? Because I said something to her like, well, you know, you got to be careful what you do so that, you know, what you do might keep someone from going to heaven. Now, this is a woman who's in a church that was originally built by John Huss. I mean by originally built, I mean spiritually built, okay? Not physically church building, but the Moravian church. Comes from John Huss. John Huss burned to the stake for the premise that justification is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ and not by works. He stood up against the church of that day, the Roman church, Roman Catholic Church. They burned him to the stake. While he died, he cried, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Gave a testimony to the people as he burned there for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now here, hundreds of years later, 99-year-old woman who ought to know better said to me, well, I think that as long as you try to be as good as you can and be as nice to your fellow man, that... And she's shaking her head to me. She knows I'm a preacher. And you could get to heaven that way. You know, like, right? Isn't that the right way? And as respectfully as I could, a 62-year-old to a 99-year-old, I said her name, and I said, no, that is not the way to heaven. Oh, no. I said, no.
It's what you have done with Jesus that counts.
What have you done with Jesus Christ? And if you've trusted Him as your Savior, that's what gets you into heaven. And oh, I prayed that night that God would give me another opportunity to go further with that woman. The next day, but the next day, I saw nothing that would indicate that that made any difference to her. And you know what? Don't matter whether you're 18 months old or 99 years old, you get to heaven the same way. You say, well, what did you say about the 18-month-old? I leave that in the hands of the Lord. I don't know all the answers, but I know one thing. If it does go to heaven, it'll be because of the work of Christ on the cross somehow, some way. I'm not going to stand there and say this baby's roasting in hell. I'm not going to talk like that. No. But if it is in heaven, it'll be because of what Christ did on that cross. Somehow, some way. There are some secret things that belong unto the Lord, and that's one of them. If I knew the answer, I'd give it to you. I don't know the answer. But I know the answer for the 99-year-old. That's not the way to heaven works. And see, that's Satan's work to keep Christ off the cross. Well, he's already gone. He already did die, buried, and third day he rose up from the grave. Well, then if I can keep the preacher from talking about it, I'll in so many ways keep him off the cross. Oh, you know what? Don't ever get tired of hearing of the preaching of the cross. Don't ever get tired of it. I like that. That one song, I love to tell the story to those who know it best, who seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I don't know about you, but that blesses me. That blesses me. I've gone to a lot of Bible conferences and things like that, and I've heard guys get up there and take a whole hour talking about themselves and their own ministry, and I this and I that, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I say to myself, would you please preach about my Savior? Would you please talk about the cross? Would you please talk about the new man, the body of Christ? Would you preach from Paul's letters for a change? Invariably, it's always, would you open your Bibles to, you know, 1 Samuel or Kings or Old Testament prophet? And I said, we're here to hear you give us preaching about Jesus Christ. Would you please take us to those places? And it's sad. The preaching of the cross is going by the wayside. Well, Jesus answered. He recognized Satan as the instigator in Peter's words. You're not savoring the things that be of God, Peter, when you talk like that. But those that be of men. See, men would keep me from going to that cross. But the Father wants me to go to that cross. And folks, we better just keep on preaching the cross. That way we're on the Lord's side of things here. And I believe Peter, when he finally understood, and I don't believe it was until the resurrection, when the ladies came, the women came from the empty tomb and announced to Peter, he's risen. I saw him. I saw him, Peter. Peter got up and ran to that tomb. And John outran him, got there first. But I think out of respect, he just kind of stood at the doorway and he let Peter go in. And there they saw the evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ truly was risen from the grave. And oh, can you imagine the joy that must have welled up inside of Peter's heart and mind? He's alive. Oh, wow, what a time that must have been. Do you remember the day you got saved? Remember when you got saved? I mean, when you took care of this matter and really figured it out and made a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, wasn't it like a dark room where a light was turned on? And, wow, you mean it's that easy? Yep. But it sure took a hard time to get you there, didn't it? Do you mean it's all by grace and not of me at all? Yes. Yes. Peter, thou savorest not the things that be of God. God will, through that cross, provide salvation for every man. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And the conversation ends there, and the Lord takes the conversation in a slightly different direction. The path of a disciple. Oh, boy. You know, I just plain out talk too much. I just talk too much. Don't say amen. I don't want anybody saying amen to that. There's just so much to be said about our Lord and Savior and what He's done and accomplished for us on that cross. We'll just have to pick up with this next week. Peter. Do you see, though, that the gospel here is kind of going in a different direction here? That the focus is, whoa, don't tell anybody. Don't tell him. Yeah. We can put this kingdom thing on hold, okay? I'm going to the cross. Going to the cross. And he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. And nobody was going to keep him from going there. Oh, they tried to push him off a cliff. They tried to stone him. But mine hour is not yet come, he would say. I'm going to that cross. And Christian, you ought to go out of here so glad that he did. So glad that he did. Because it makes all the difference in eternity for you and me. That he set his face on that cross and he went all the way. Now, you know, there were times in the Garden of Gethsemane where he talked to the Father up in heaven and said, Father, if it be possible, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. Great drops of blood. And you know why? Because he knew in a few hours, I'll make this real personal, real individual. He knew in a few hours he was going to be hanging on that cross, stripped naked as far as the world was concerned. Bearing Gary Freeman's sin. As they know, it was mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. Okay, we can all vie for the position. And we all deserve that position. He died for you and for me. And he bore it all on Calvary's tree. As we sang, Jesus paid it all. Paid it all. And he's the common denominator that joins us here this morning. Doesn't it? Doesn't he? He joins us here today. It's so good. I'm so glad that he saves and keeps and that he's promising to come again someday. I'm sorry I didn't get further. I wanted to get to the part about what can you give in exchange for your soul? Yeah. And then how about there be some standing here? And in the next chapter, if you want to kind of peek ahead, go ahead. You can read the answer to that. That some standing here are going to see him come in his kingdom. Next chapter, you see it. All right, well, the Bible's a great book, isn't it? Oh, man, you can just keep on preaching it all the time. It's just such a wonderful book. And I hope you enjoy it and love it more and more all the time. Let's pray. Father, help us as we go from here to go forth realizing how great the salvation is that Jesus Christ paid for us. And we're so glad that Satan didn't get his way with Peter there that day, nor with us in this day. May we not fail to preach Christ and the cross and the empty tomb and that he's coming again. Help us to be faithful to it, to deny self, take up our cross, and follow him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.